All right, ladies and gentlemen, coping with loss during the holiday season, even while in the hospital. Wow. Adding pain on top of pain, but there's hope. Someone to help. Here we go. Hi. It's Power Friday, and you know what that means. It is time to take us to a place of empowerment. We have with us Reverend Brennan Francois and Reverend Jeff Flowers from what we now know as Augusta University. We're going to be talking about pastoral care. So in the meantime, I want you to be listening to this song by Kerry Roberts entitled No Matter What. I want you to listen to the words closely. See how many of the lyrics you can say really have been applied to your life as an act of your will. We'll be right back.
To your promises one more time, Lord, that's all I can hold on to. I've gotta say this is taking me by surprise, but nothing surprises you. Before a heartache can ever touch my life, it has to go through your hands. And even though I keep asking why, no matter what, I'm gonna love you. No matter what, I'm gonna need you. I know that you can find a way to keep me from the pain, but if not, I'll trust you. No matter what, no matter. In this nothingness by myself, I'm just sitting in silence, and there's no way I can make it without your help. No, I won't even try it. I know you have your reasons for everything, so I will keep believing. And whatever I might be feeling, God, you are my hope, and you'll be my strength. No matter what, I'm gonna love you. No matter what, I'm gonna need you. I know that you can find a way to keep me from the pain, but if not, I'll trust you. No matter what.
Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what. Is that something that you can say? Have some of you found yourselves already at that point where you have said, you know what, God? No matter what. It's all about you and our relationship. And you've gotten to the point where you can read Romans 8:28 and mean it. Those last few verses. Neither demon, nor power, nor angels, nor any other power can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Have you gotten to that point where you say no matter what, and you mean it? Well, you know what? It's not easy, because life is tough. No doubt about it. No need to pretend. Of course, this is the program where, you know, we talk real talk about the real world, real talk about real life. And life is tough, even for people who provide spiritual care for others. And here to talk about that with us today, we have two gentlemen who know the walk. They know the journey. They've been living it for some time. Reverend Jeff Flowers and Reverend Brennan Francois. Hello to you.
Good afternoon, Carl. How are you?
I'm well.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Yes, sir.
Hi, Carl. It's good to be with you.
I am so glad that we have two men in here. You know what? And one day, as a follow-up, we're going to get one or two ladies to join us, too, to talk about this whole spiritual journey and how that can be so challenging and yet how we can walk through it victoriously.
Well, you know, Carl, we have a very diverse staff in our department, the Georgia Region's Pastoral Care Department, Augusta University. So we have females who serve. We have a lot of females who serve and walk those halls every day, caring for people. And we'd love to be in dialogue with you about that.
That's awesome. And today, what we're going to focus on, ladies and gentlemen, is this whole issue of pastoral care. We know that there is so much that is expected of our pastors, the people who kind of lead the way spiritually. And of course, being on the front lines, they're expected to take a lot of the bullets.
It's funny you put it that way, but you're absolutely right. One of the highest callings, I think, in society today is that of a clergy person. And the expectations for what we do are extremely high. The demands on our lives are ever going. There seems to be very little time to just stop, rest, and reflect. Everybody pulls at their clergy person. They're pulled in various directions. And so the clergy person has to be multi-talented, has to be an excellent orator, has to be available, insightful, fun, interesting. And it seems like there's always somebody pulling for their and vying for their attention. And so, yeah, bullets come from all directions and in many forms.
And you mentioned the desire for attention, the desire for, the need for attention. And it's coming from all angles, especially if that pastor is married, and especially even more so if that married pastor has children. Now he has two households that he's overseeing, at least two, the one where he sleeps and the one where he preaches and worships.
One of the things that's often a myth is that somehow the minister is able to function and all those things in their life is perfect, and they don't have those stressors. We forget many times that what a minister is really a wounded soul helping other wounded souls find a path. And we have all the same pressures at home. You know, one of the things that's interesting, though, Carl, your family knows you're not perfect. The congregation may see you, and you may look good. You may have it lined up there. When you get home, they know you're not perfect. But they don't expect you to be perfect. Mm. They just expect you to be there. Brent and I were having a wonderful conversation yesterday with one of our colleagues who spent a year in Afghanistan in the Army as a chaplain. And he talked about being away from his family for a year. And he missed birthdays, and he missed anniversaries, and recitals, and football games. And he said there was this incredible guilt that he was feeling, that he couldn't be there with his family. Ministers get called away many times, away from dinner tables, restaurants, concerts, all those things. And what we don't talk about is the turmoil inside us sometimes, the split world. I want to be all things to all people. Now, I can crash that myth right now. You can't be. Mm. You have to be who you are, where you are, with whom you're with.
That is so interesting that, you know, normally when it comes to that life balance, and we think about men in particular, and I say men in particular simply because I think in our society we still tend to equate ministry with men, particularly when we're talking pastors. And when we think about that life balance. What I do for work, in this case, ministry, has to be balanced with my home life. We often think when it comes to that life balance and the challenge of it in the business world, and we're thinking about executives and people in management who are having a difficult time balancing their life, spending enough time at home but not neglecting work, spending enough time at work and not neglecting home. But it's not just the business executive who has that challenge.
No, and people will give the businessman a pass. They'll say, well, he's making a living for his family. He's out there, you know, working hard. He's a head of corporate industry. He's a captain of industry. So we'll give him a pass. Reality, same pressures with the pastor, and sometimes unrealistic expectations. We talk about it all the time. Brennan and I, we travel a little bit, and we'll go places. And the question that someone will ask you when you're traveling that kind of disrupts the trip is,
so what do you do for a living? And the minute you tell them you're a pastor, everything changes.
Niagara Falls.
That's right. The way they treat you changes. The conversation changes. And you're going to work. You can work the rest of the day.
And here's another dynamic to that. Oftentimes, the executive has a filter of people protecting them. The pastor does not. If I wanted to see the pastor, the associate pastor won't do. The ministry leader won't do. I want entree with the pastor. And if the pastor's not at my program, nobody else matters. I want the pastor there. And so, again, there's this pull for his or her leadership above and beyond anybody else. And so often they're viewed a little different than maybe your ordinary executive who has a buffer between him and maybe a number of employees. The pastor does not have that buffer. Pastor is accessible, and folk want his or her presence.
Sure. But it's up to me to set my boundaries. And that's what we're trying to promote. I have to let my congregation, my friends, anybody that would consider coming to me or talking to me or sees me as their minister, I have to let them know that I have some boundaries. And I have to have my own health. Yes. I lose my health, I've lost it, haven't I, Carl? Mm-hmm.
Lost it for sure. In fact, that gets to a question that I wanted to ask when it comes to the pool. Mm-hmm. Do pastors sometimes find that the people that they are overseeing, the people they're mm-hmm. caring for, have unreasonable expectations and demands?
Sure, and we promote that sometimes. It's a two-way street. You know, sometimes the pastor might promote themselves as being Superman. And so we set it up in that way. But there are unrealistic expectations that we won't disappoint. Well, you know, we're all going to disappoint each other somewhere along the way. The difference is I have to let you know that if there is disappointment here, it was unintentional, and we can talk about it, and we can find healing in it. But there are unrealistic expectations periodically that we have to address. One of the statistics that's a little staggering, but it's too calculated for it not to be true, is too many studies, that the average life expectancy of ministers is declining. Mm. In a society and a health where health is increasing, where you and most folk can expect to live in their late 70s, early 80s, 90s, the average life expectancy of ministers has fallen about a year and a half or 2 years over the last 5 years. Prominent heart disease, stress-related disease, cardiovascular disease is one of the main sources of that. So you'll hear Brennan and I talk on a regular basis about trying to do self-care because we want to reverse that.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's really what it's going to be about. We're going to be talking about pastoral care. And right now, we're focusing primarily on what things are, you know, what the pastors do to care for the people they care about, inside their home, outside their home, at church, you name it. But before it's all over, we're going to be talking about steps that the pastors can take to care for themselves. Reverend Flowers has already touched on one of those, setting boundaries. Who ever heard of a pastor setting boundaries? And with his flock? Come on. Is that the way it's supposed to work? You stay with us. We're going to be talking about that and more right here on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Stay with us.
I keep asking why. I keep asking why. No matter.